Welcome to the Lex Tech in 10 podcast, a resource for Lexington teachers to learn about innovative technology to use in your classroom, as well as tips and tricks to streamline your workload. I'm Lisa Rhodes, one of the elementary digital learning coaches.
I'm Rachel Kuberry, the district's assistive technology specialist.
And I'm Ann Kim Tenner, the high school digital learning coach.
Just a reminder, the opinions expressed are those of the individual hosts and guests. Make sure you check out the show notes for more information, resources, and other podcasts.
Hello, and welcome to Episode 9, Season 2 of the Lex Tech in 10 podcast. I am Lisa Rhodes. This episode highlights executive functioning. Rachel talks with Diamond Middle School teachers Kate Desjardins, Roseanne Thibodeau, and Cecilia Vosselin. Following their informative discussion, Anne spotlights the executive functioning resource websites available to teachers. And we have an announcement. Screencastify has announced new features. There is a new recording toolbar, which includes stickers, shapes, and tools. There is a new blur tool in the edit mode to obscure and block out unwanted things in the recording. There are new title clips and a new Google Classroom integration tool called Screencastify Submit. The company will soon be putting out another update, including viewer analytics. If you aren't seeing any of these updates, you may need to update your extensions. To do so, click on the three great dots, also known as the vertical ellipsis, on the upper right-hand side of your window. Next, choose the More Tools option. Then choose Extensions. Toggle the Developer Mode button on the top of the window to the right. Now, click on the Update button. If you need help updating extensions or want more information or training on Screencastify, please contact your Building Digital Learning coach.
All right. Welcome, everybody. We are here today to talk about executive functioning, in particular, how executive functioning looks this year, which is a little different than in traditional years, and some of our cool things that happened this year that we hope to carry forward. So I am lucky today to have, I think, three experts that we have in Lexington on executive functioning that work together as a really great team over at Diamond, and that is Cecilia, Roseanne, and Kate. So they're going to go through, introduce themselves, and then we'll get into the chat. So you're up, Cecilia. Tell us about yourself.
Hi, I'm Cecilia Vosland. I typically teach guided learning, which is executive function support, and reading intervention, and a sixth grade elective. This year, I am also teaching an eighth grade elective at Diamond.
Awesome. And Roseanne?
Hi, I'm Roseanne Thibodeau. I typically teach guided learning at Diamond, but this year I'm teaching guided learning in addition to an elective on writing and sketchnoting.
Awesome. And Kate?
Hi, I'm Kate Desjardins, and I also teach guided learning, the executive function support, as well as a writer's workshop class and another elective this year because of the schedule.
Great. Thank you so much for being here today, guys. I'm really looking forward to talking about executive functioning because it's been a real hot topic the last couple of years, but especially this year. And you guys, I think, work together on some summer work, but it's an embedded part of your regular job at Diamond. And so thank you for coming in today and sharing your expertise with our listeners. I would love, because I think everybody knows a little bit about executive functioning as teachers, but I would love to start with sort of an overview of what executive functioning is and the challenges and how this impacts your target audience, which is middle school students.
Okay, I'll take that one. It's definitely a fascinating age, middle school, for development of executive function skills. The executive function part of the brain is developing in middle school. The prefrontal cortex isn't fully developed till you're 25, but it's starting to make some real growth in middle school. And things like goal setting and time management, initiating challenging tasks, problem solving, adding to, accessing, and manipulating memory, organization. To develop habit and skill, students need repeated guided practice, and that's where we come in with guided learning.
And it seems like, just to point out, those things that you listed that are like make up executive functioning really we raise the bar on those things in middle school. There's a lot more challenges in that area for kids, whereas in elementary school, those skills were a lot more scaffolded by the teacher.
Right, exactly. Absolutely. And the prefrontal cortex is sort of the conductor that gets all the parts of the brain working to do these things. And in middle school, there's much more independence with these things.
Right.
Yes. Like you're,
which hence you were talking about guided practice being needed now.
Right. So they're still developing at this age group these skills. And so we definitely need to keep giving direct instruction for that area of the brain so that it can develop good habits. So middle schools shouldn't really be expected to have strong executive function skills at this level. We sometimes attempt to include some EF instruction, we being Lexington and the team teachers. But sometimes it's hard with the pressures of curriculum to keep the repeated guided practice going at the middle school level. And just like you wouldn't teach reading by just showing a video and then giving kids something to read, really you need to have guided practice for that reading skill to develop. And it's the same with executive functioning.
Right.
And I think that it's interesting how individualized it is. Each person is developing their brain in different areas. And there might be one area that's really highly developed and another that isn't, all in the umbrella of executive function. And they could develop quickly, or it takes more time as well. So it's really such an individualized and personalized experience, the growth of executive function. And the teaching of these skills is time intensive.
Right.
And so it really does fight with the curriculum sometimes, you know, as far as like content versus these skills that are so important in middle school.
Yeah. And so next, I wanted to ask you guys about sort of what are some of the unique challenges, particularly with this year and how we're doing school this year. And I think we might talk a little bit more about what you just said, Kate, and how time intensive it is, and sort of that balance between teaching the executive functioning skills and the content in our schools. And so what do you guys think? What are the challenges this year? How have things looked?
Kind of bouncing off of what Kate just said and expanding on that, it is tough to have a curriculum that you feel you need to teach and that you are, you know, that you are mandated to teach. It feels as if taking any time away from that curriculum is not possible. And so sometimes there's this kind of push and pull of feeling like, well, if I did spend time on executive function skills, and if I did spend time giving my students the repeated practice, then that might take away from what I also still need to do. So that is definitely a challenge in general. I think this year, all of our academic curriculums were different anyway, so that we were all challenged by what we were going to be doing academically as well.
Yeah, I agree. That's a challenge that hit all of our classes.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody equally.
Yeah.
One of the other challenges that was unique this year is that because of the 2-week schedule, the, you know, gold week, blue week, that decreased the dosage of chance to try your skills.
Right.
Of this, middle schoolers got to try a skill, try to organize themselves, and it decreased the frequency that they were doing that with the same person. So the middle school student didn't get the chance to practice that same routine with that same teacher 5 days a week like they might have in a typical year.
Okay.
And because of that, the disruptions and the lower frequency made it less predictable. And it's harder to build your skills when you're not doing it the same way each time and getting that repetition that the brain needs to be able to build those connections.
Right. And I think with that, one of the other challenges we've had this year is like all the different places you have to, like, because you're asking your computer to do so much for you, especially in the time that kids are learning at home. I think you guys call it digital zigzagging. So I would love to hear more about that and the challenges that brings.
Yeah. Digital zigzagging. I mean, just being, you know, we're using so many different technology tools and different, you know, we're using so many different sources to sort of teach a lesson now that kids are, you know, opening one document, and then in that document, they need to click to another document, and then maybe they might need to open a separate app. I love the term digital zigzagging.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that before we were talking today.
Yeah.
So it's perfect.
It is. And I think, you know, what we as adults need to understand is that digital zigzagging requires a lot of mental shifting. You know, oh, I was on this page, now I'm on this page, and it has these text features, and, you know, and the website design and the colors that are on the page. All of that actually takes a lot of time mentally to process. You know, and as adults, we can shift between tasks with relative ease. But for children, it's a much slower, children do that in a much slower fashion. You know, for folks who are parents, like just trying to get your children out of the house in a hurry, I think, you know, folks have experienced that before. And I think, you know, what sort of adds to that is that being in a remote setting, we have to rely on a lot more written instructions.
Yes.
You know, so I see, you know, in my work in guided learning, I see students where there's an increase in procrastination because they're saying, I just know it's going to take a really long time. You know, and it's sort of this expectation that it's going to be this tiring process. So one thing we work on to sort of mitigate that is to say, well, you know what, like you haven't opened that document because it seems really big to you. How about setting a timer? So set your timer for 5 minutes and see how long it takes you to get through the first set of directions. Or let's find a small actionable step that you can take here. You know, like I'm going to answer the first 3 questions and then I'm going to give myself a break, because that helps them overcome the task initiation issues that sometimes pop up.
Great.
I also teach my students to kind of modify their own docs by like take the instructions on a document and copy and paste everything into the working document that you're using. So that it's all like one-stop shopping.
Yeah. And I think there have been a lot of challenges this year for sure, but there are also a lot of really nice things that have come about because of this year. And I think your example that you just gave there, because we have so much work, all of our work digital right now, kids can manipulate it more easily than if it was a stack of worksheets and here's the rubric and here's the directions and here's the thing you're creating. And I love that you're teaching kids how to pull that together and make it their working document. So I would love to hear some of the other, you know, and thinking about this year so far, what are some of the bright spots that you guys have seen that you want to continue?
Well, one of the bright spots I really, you know, I was really excited about this year was just the fact that in the remote setting, kids are pushed into a greater degree of self-advocacy. You know, when you're in the building, I think it's harder sometimes to raise your hand and ask a question to a teacher or to pull a teacher after class. Like that's really hard for kids, for middle schoolers to do. But kids really got into the routine of emailing their teachers more often. And so, you know, I saw my students, you know, being able to email and request Zoom help sessions. And they kind of had to do that also because they didn't have a classmate sitting next to them to reach out to.
Right.
So they kind of got over that fear a bit more of talking to teachers and speaking up and advocating.
That's great. And that's going to be a really nice life skill for them to have, because we all do that so much in the workplace and in our personal lives. So
yeah,
that's awesome. Absolutely.
Another positive thing that kind of came out of force of this year being different is the flexibility that students had. So initially that was really challenging for a lot of us, students and adults, that the blue weeks looked different, that there might be some blocks that, you know, that were very, very different. But a lot of students found that flexibility to be hugely helpful in their blue weeks, to be able to turn off their Zoom class, go get a snack, take a brain break, come back refreshed to work, and or decide when it was they were doing that work. A lot of the kids,
it forced them to flex some of those muscles they don't necessarily get to flex when every block of their day is scheduled for them and they have adults helping them through those routines as we normally do in the building.
Yeah, and I think Kate was talking before about the like explicit teaching that's needed, and perhaps one of the benefits of this year was you built in some explicit teaching and following directions and following a schedule, and then some opportunities to for kids to independently implement what they were learned and schedule their own time and make a plan for how they're going to address these assignments in these classes. So that's awesome. How about you, Kate? What's a bright spot?
I really love seeing some students that maybe found in-person school to be challenging and finding that when they had some more space and time, like you were saying, Cecilia, to say, what do I need, that they actually were successful, that executive function is impacted so much by stress and cognitive load. And so sometimes going into the building is stressful for kids. And so not doing that actually allows them to open up.
Yeah, I agree. Awesome. Well, we have just a couple minutes left, but I would love, like I said at the beginning, I think there are some things that happened this year that we'd like to continue or that were really, you know, worth pointing out. And so what's your, I guess we can go through sort of round robin. What do you want to leave us with?
It's developmentally, sure. Yes. It's developmentally appropriate for students to struggle with executive function at the middle school level.
Yeah.
And view it with that lens and shift our curriculum to meet the needs of these learners in front of us. We will go far.
And I think that might have been a challenge for some people this year, because this year you might have seen kids who were strong in their executive functioning, but were challenged with the way that this year was set up. And so that forgiveness that everybody is working on it in middle school, I think is an important reminder for people. How about you, Roseanne?
Yeah, I mean, just to kind of piggyback off that, I would just advise people to understand that, you know, because some kids can demonstrate that they can use EF skills independently, we really do children a disservice when we assume that all kids should. You know, just the explicit executive function instruction is something that is developmentally appropriate for kids, and really is about leveling the playing field, you know?
Yeah, I agree. Cecilia, what are we going to end on?
Yeah, for me, well, in general, not just for me, but it's a reminder for us all that when we as humans are stressed, we lose access to that wonderful part of the brain that does our executive function skills, that coordinates everything else. So in a year that might be a lot more stressful than others have been, we as adults are struggling with our executive function skills. It's true for adults, for children, for everyone. And to kind of keep that in mind, to be kind to ourselves, that we ourselves are struggling with a lot of these executive function skills. And that's us who have fully developed skills. So also keep in mind that these kids who are still learning these skills might not be able to access them the way that they normally would, because it is a more stressful environment, or they are feeling more stressed at one moment or another.
Yeah, I think that's really important, because I see myself as someone who has pretty strong executive functioning skills. And I reflect on this past year as my worst year in executive functioning performance. And I think we can laugh about that now and reflect on how far even I've come from my low in March and April, May, and then coming up from that and almost returning to normal now, but not quite. But also consider that as we return to school and school starts to look more normal and kids are in school more often, that might be a stressful event for some kids, and that though it might feel like we're back to school and everything's normal, this should be easy, it might actually be hard for some of our kids and some of our teachers too.
Yeah.
And so I appreciate that reminder. So thank you guys. This interview was awesome. I love talking to you. I love talking about executive functioning. It's something that comes up in my work all the time, and you guys are such experts on it. So thank you for sharing your knowledge with us.
This has been fabulous. Thank you so much.
You guys have an awesome website that we'll link to in the show notes. So if people haven't seen it, we'll put it there, and some of the other executive functioning resources we have as a district. And I think it probably has your contact info in case people want to reach out to you. So thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, it's Anne here, and today I'm going to share two executive functioning websites with you. The first one was created by our show guests today from Diamond, specifically for learning during the pandemic, and it's titled Executive Functioning During Remote Learning. The site has pages on time management, task initiation, digital organization, and more. Their address is sites.google.com/lexingtonma.org/ef-remote-learning/home. The second site was created by Julie Jeffrey, a district psychologist, Katie Dobbins, an LHS special education teacher, Rachel, and me. Our site is titled Tools for Executive Functioning and is targeted for secondary students. Our site has an overview of executive functioning and pages on note-taking slash studying, completing homework, staying focused, and more. Our address for our site is sites.google.com/lexingtonma.org/executive-functioning/home. Both sites include strategies and videos, especially the tools that support digital executive functioning. You'll find links for both sites on our website.
Thank you for listening to the Lex Tech in 10 podcast. Don't forget to reach out to any one of us or your building digital learning coach for questions and assistance. That's what we're here for. Also, check out our website, gg.gg/LexTechIn10, where you can find show notes and other resources. Do you have an idea for a future podcast? Would you like to be featured on a future podcast? Email us at lextechin10@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.